Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Saturday, February 8th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Wall Street Breakfast is brought to you by Seeking Alpha Premium. Unlock the power of Seeking Alpha through our articles, data, and advanced tools. Try it today at seekingalpha.com/premium. Here's what moved markets this week. Stocks took a break Friday from an otherwise strong week, as investors appeared to take profits ahead of the weekend. A better-than-expected January U.S. employment report capped a series of strong reports, but it wasn't enough to generate follow-through buying interest after stocks rose in each of the first 4 days of the week. The rising number of confirmed cases of coronavirus continues to worry investors, and some analysts now expect zero growth for the Chinese economy this quarter. For the week, the S&P 500 jumped 3.2% for its best showing since June, the Dow Jones gained 3%, and the Nasdaq Composite climbed 4%. Worried about the drastic efforts to contain the coronavirus, investors dashed for the exits as Chinese markets reopened on Monday, with the Shanghai Composite plunging nearly 8%. The economy was in focus as more than a dozen Chinese provinces announced a further extension of the Lunar New Year holiday, while Macau shut its casinos until mid-February. Later in the week, things headed north amid scientific progress toward a coronavirus cure and China saying it would have tariffs on $75 billion of U.S. imports. The epidemic still led to forecasts being cut, with S&P Global Ratings revising its estimation of China's GDP growth for 2020 from 5.7% before the outbreak to 5%. Financial analysts applauded transparency from Alphabet, which revealed new revenue figures for the first time. Sales at YouTube were $15.1 billion for the year, lower than projections, while Google Cloud revenue jumped 53% to $2.6 billion, but trailed that of Microsoft's Azure platform. Profit figures were not disclosed. The news, along with mixed fourth quarter results, sent down Alphabet shares 4% after hours on Monday. Disney made a strong entrance into the streaming video wars, reaching 28.6 million paying subscribers on Disney Plus just 3 months after its launch. It took Netflix, the largest streaming platform, years to reach that number, though it currently has more than 67 million subs across the U.S. and Canada. Other highlights. Revenue and profit at Disney's film division more than doubled year-over-year to $3.7 billion, though coronavirus-related closings at its theme parks in Shanghai and Hong Kong could shave $175 million off operating income if they extend for 2 months. The Mandalorian will also return in October, if you were wondering. Shares of Tesla surged above the $900 mark, extending a stunning rally that has more than doubled the company's market value since the start of the year. Short squeeze? FOMO? Betting on Elon Musk's vision? Whatever the reason may be, shares gave back much of this week's gains to settle in the $700 level as the EV maker temporarily closed its China stores amid coronavirus fears. During the week, Musk also polled Twitter users on whether to open a gigafactory in Texas, with nearly 80% of 306,000 voters giving a thumbs up for the new facility. As tech platforms prepare for the 2020 election, Twitter said it will begin labeling tweets containing synthetic or deceptively edited forms of content and will remove any manipulated media likely to cause harm. Earlier this week, YouTube announced it would remove any content that has been doctored and may pose a serious risk of egregious harm, while TikTok issued a broad ban on misleading information. Facebook is further removing deepfakes and some other manipulated videos from its websites, but will leave up satirical content. Updating its guidance for Q4 and the years ahead, Macy's announced plans to close 125 department stores over the next 3 years, in an admission that a fifth of its locations cannot succeed as shoppers move online. The retailer said it would additionally cut 2,000 corporate jobs and abandon a dual headquarters in Cincinnati for a head office in New York. It's also testing a new concept that will take it out of traditional malls by opening smaller outlets in strip malls, and will continue to look for profits from its real estate. Central banks are hurrying the pace at which they are looking at issuing their own digital currencies, known as CBDCs, as Facebook's push to launch its own crypto raises questions over who will control money supply in the decades ahead. The Fed is conducting research and experimentation related to distributed ledger technologies and their potential use case for digital currencies, including the potential for a CBDC, Governor Lyle Brainard told the Stanford Graduate School of Business. Leaders of six major central banks, including the UK, the Eurozone, Japan, Canada, Sweden, and Switzerland, are also undertaking joint research on cryptos and may hold their first meeting in Washington in mid-April. Stepping up its innovation, 7-Eleven began testing out a pilot cashierless store at its corporate headquarters in Texas. It uses a dedicated app and proprietary mixture of algorithms and predictive technology to know what each customer is buying. Sound familiar? Amazon has been testing a similar concept at its Go store since 2018. Retail technology is evolving at a rapid pace, and customer expectations are driving the evolution, said 7-Eleven CEO Joe DePinto. With oil prices sliding into a bear market, Russia supported a recommendation to deepen OPEC Plus oil supply curbs amid falling demand for crude as China battles a coronavirus outbreak. The proposal could lead to a provisional cut in output of 600,000 barrels per day, which is about 0.6% of global supply, and would extend current curbs of 1.7 million barrels per day. It would also pave the way for OPEC to bring forward to February a ministerial policy meeting planned for early March to formalize the decision. The U.S. should neutralize a threat of Huawei's next-generation equipment by taking a controlling stake in Nokia or Ericsson, according to U.S. Attorney General William Barr. There are only two companies that can compete with Huawei right now. Putting our large market and financial muscle behind one or both of these firms would make it a more formidable competitor. The stance is dismissive of recent White House efforts to blunt Huawei's threat by investing in homegrown 5G equipment, signaling a split between government approaches. Wall Street Breakfast is brought to you by Seeking Alpha Premium. Unlock the power of Seeking Alpha at seekingalpha.com/premium. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.